Good morning, everybody. Today it is my pleasure and my joy to talk to you about the second fruit of the Spirit, joy. However, I have to admit that as I considered this message throughout the week, it was with anything but joy. I've been stressed, confused, worried, and just generally wishing someone else was doing this one. I mentioned this to Joelle, and she said something to the effect of, "Are you surprised?" She reminded me of the fact that what I'm speaking on is often what I am tested on either the week before the message or the week after the message. To not be enjoying my preparation on joy is somewhat normal and expected, also somewhat ironic and a little bit sad. Wendy and I have had a few discussions this week about what joy is. There's so many different aspects of joy that we really can't touch on them all today. So if you look at this and go, "Wes, you missed something. That's really important." Or if you have a totally different perspective, that's okay. I trust that the Lord has something for each of us through this message today. Galatians 5, 22 to 23 is very familiar, but let's read it again. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Joy comes from the Greek word chara. I looked it up in the Greek and I heard how to say it. It's kind of hara, but more with the guttural sound that I can't seem to do. The root word is chario, to rejoice. The two words are very connected. Interestingly, chario is both the root word for chara, joy, and the root word for charis, which is the Greek word for grace. It is also the root word for charisma, which means a gift of grace. I think there's an interesting study to be done in those words. For today, we're looking at joy. It is to rejoice, a cause or matter of joy or rejoicing, chara. Exultation, exuberant joy, good cheer, mirth, gladness of heart. We're told in James to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. We read in our passage that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We see in John that Jesus says he will make our joy complete, and on it goes. For those of us who take every command on the matter very seriously, this whole idea of being a joy-filled Christian can actually become a bit of a burden to bear. I am someone who tends to take everything with great seriousness, too much so. It can almost be crippling to any kind of productivity, and it can certainly be very crippling to joy. Maybe that's why I like puns so much. It's kind of a light-hearted thing in the midst of the burdens I sometimes tend to heap upon my own shoulders with my seriousness and the weight that I seem to carry stuff. That is to say, joy does not come naturally to me, and it doesn't come naturally to many of us. And so it's good to acknowledge that we're on a journey in this walk with the Holy Spirit. We may not have arrived completely, but He is patient and He works with us. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's actually 49 days after the resurrection. It celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after Christ's resurrection and 10 days after Christ's ascension. And that connects nicely to the fruit of joy. So let's read the first four verses of Acts chapter 2. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They're sitting there, in a sense, minding their own business. And they hear the sound like a violent wind." We know that sound lately. This might have been even more powerful, I'm sure it was. And it didn't come from outside of the house, but inside of it. In fact, it says that the sound filled the whole house where they were. They were filled with the Spirit, and then enabled to speak in tongues, different languages. We could discuss many aspects of what happened that day, but I want to point out two things for our discussion on joy. First, the Spirit filled them. Now, this was the first time, and it was a unique and it was amazing in many ways. But the Holy Spirit did the filling. It was His doing on His initiative. He is the one who gives the gifts of the Spirit. He is the one who produces the fruit of the Spirit. He is the one who transforms us into the image of Christ. We have parts in that, all of that, but He does it. So we can, in many ways, we can relax. We have a part in it, but it's not all on our shoulders to, quote-unquote, live the Christian life the way we should. We can trust the Spirit to do His work. Second, and very connected to the first thing, is that He does the enabling. He makes it possible to walk out in our lives what He gives us. He is the one who enabled them to speak in tongues. He is the one who makes joy possible for us in every circumstance. Our part is simple, not easy, but really not that complicated. That's like so many things. We need to be submitted participants, abiding in Christ, resting in Him, hearing and obeying the Spirit's voice. Then we need to be not only submitted, but willing participants. I'm not sure if those at Pentecost had much choice in what was happening there. And there's times in Scripture when the Holy Spirit will overwhelm and things happen that seem to be beyond the individual person's control. But that's not the normal case. I've heard it said that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He invites us to join Him in what He offers us. He convicts us gently at first and allows us to refuse, at least for a time. It is in our willingness that He prefers to work, not against it. And now on to joy. Again, it's good to have a reminder that this is a get-to, not a have-to. We get to experience the fruit of joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we need to do. It's not something that we need to produce. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We get to participate in that. Yes, I mean, it's also a command to us. But it's a command we have the Holy Spirit to help us fulfill. Joy. Enjoyment. It's been pointed out that so many Christians are so very serious, so dour, so joyless at times. Why would anyone want to be a Christian? That's a problem, actually. That's a big problem. It leads us to the question, is it okay to enjoy life? And I'm not asking, is hedonism okay? Is the pursuit of pleasure okay? But is it okay to enjoy life? Is enjoying the things God gave us to enjoy okay? And it is. But more to the point, we will never find a joy or an enjoyment of life that truly fulfills unless it is found in our walk with Him. There's a song from my youth by a Saskatchewan band called Streetheart. The lead singer was actually from Nokomis, not far from Lanigan, where I grew up for a time, anyways. They sang a song called What Kind of Love Is This? It's about a relationship that really isn't going good, or at least it isn't going in the direction the singer wants it to. The last line of the song is sung in kind of a haunting voice. I need something to make me feel better. I think that describes so many things in our lives. We want something, anything, to make us feel better. And so we pursue things that we think will do that, and most people do, maybe everybody does. I want to read a quote from C.S. Lewis that you may have heard before. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum, because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Where do our half-hearted passions lead us? To sports, to possessions, to Freedom 55 and the golf course? Imagine for a moment fulfillment that fulfills, that doesn't leave us wanting more, but fully satisfies. Could that be what Jesus meant when He said that we are to remain in his love so that our joy may be complete. Out of the Spirit Fruit book by John Drescher, I want to read a quote from him. In AD 248, Cyprian, the Bishop of Carthage, wrote to his friend Donatus, "This seems to be a cheerful world, Donatus, when I view it from this fair garden under the shadow of these vines. But if I climb some great mountain and look out over the wide lands, you know very well what I would see. Brigands on the road, pirates on the seas, in the amphitheaters men murdering each other to please the applauding crowds, and under all roofs I see misery and selfishness. It is really a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world. Yet in the midst of it, I have found a quiet and holy people. They have discovered a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of the sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. These people, Donatus, are Christians, and I am one of them." And a second quote from F.R. Maltby from the book. He said that Christ promised his disciples three things. They would be absurdly happy, completely fearless, and in constant trouble. One of the things about social media and the world we live in is that it glosses over so much of the misery and highlights the fun. But if we look only a little beneath the surface, we would find what the bishop found: misery. Joy is found not in the looking for it, not in the pursuit of it. Joy is found in the one who came to bring us power, who came to help us, who is here because Jesus knew that we needed him. Joy is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. I want to spend a few minutes talking about the idea of joy in trusting obedience. Imagine, if you will, with me, which I've done this, I've kind of experienced this, that you're building a house or part of a house and you're in over your head. Okay, you have the nailer, you have supplies, you have a level and a square, hammer and tool belt, but you're struggling to figure out how to put it all together, where to begin. Don't know how to frame the wall properly, and the trusses really kind of look confusing, and hopelessness starts to set in. Then you remember you can call someone. There is someone you know who knows what he is doing, and he did offer to help. He isn't unsure. Rather, he's confident. He's able to deal with it all. You call him up and you ask for advice, but instead of advice, he says, "Well, I'll come over and I'll take charge. I'll help you through this all." What's our response? Our response is relief, but also joy and rejoicing. Why would we not have joy at the prospect of that kind of help? We still have a part. We still work alongside. We still participate. But at that point, we just need to do what we're instructed, and we get to help build this house. As an illustration, it has limits. But the point is, we have one who will take care of things for us. That is his promise. It may not always be the way that we prefer, but he will always take care of us and work for our good. Let's read a few verses from John 15, the chapter on abiding in Christ. I'm going to read verses 9 to 11, even if the whole chapter is relevant for what we're saying. But verses 9 to 11 in John 15. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete." That our joy may be complete. What a thought. Other versions use the word full, that your joy may be full. When I looked it up, it was interesting. It gave a couple of examples. To fill, as a net with fish, or as a house with a perfumed smell. To fill every part of. "I've told you this that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may fill things up." Fill you up, probably fill up those around us. it will create a scent, a smell. We're confusing creatures. We have a promise that if we remain in Christ, if we follow and obey, our lives will be filled with joy. And so many times we go, I don't think so. I think I want this mud pie. I'm really not interested in anything better. I'm not sure that I want the brunch buffet at the resort village. You know, which makes me hungry now, but we do not need to live in the misery that this world brings us. We have a choice. We get to live a joy-filled life. One story that I'm reminded of regarding this, the obedience that brings joy, and sometimes we complicate it. Sometimes I make it an all-or-nothing kind of thing. Several years ago, Wendy and I, along with Alicia and Danae, went to Mexico with a group from Beachy and Rosetown, two groups of people, but one group going to help build a house. I knew this was in the works when I was at Scott's Parable one day and saw a Spanish study Bible in the discount bin. I sometimes get ideas that are just silly and really don't work out, so then I second guess. Should I buy this? Shouldn't I? Will it just sit in my house and never get used when someone else could use it? But I did sense it was something I should do, so I bought it. And we drove down to San Diego, us in one vehicle, Neil and Rhonda Thompson and their kids in another. And got down to San Diego. We joined a large group and drove several hours into Mexico. And at the orientation, we're sitting there and listening to Black Widow Spiders and a number of other kind of creepy things that scuttle across the floor, one of them quite quickly that will sting you or bite you or hide in your shoes. And that was all a little bit out of my comfort zone. Maybe it wouldn't be for you, but it certainly was for me at the time. We got there, went through the orientation, and next morning plans changed. We weren't building a house. Rather, we were doing three different projects in different directions. Wendy and I and several others were doing an addition on a pastor's house. Had several young boys he was doing Bible studies with, but had no room to have them over in his small house. If I remember right, he had a wife and two children, a very small space. They had no common room, no living room, that we would call it. I apparently don't pick up language very quickly. The whole de nada, gracias, all of that kind of confused me, but with a translator, I gave the Spanish study Bible I had noticed by chance and bought with some uncertainty to the pastor. I think it was genuinely and greatly appreciated. As I look back, the building of the room and the Bible brought me more joy than I could have expected. Partly because it's fun to help people, but partly because I did my best to obey what God had for me to do, what he had for us to do. Help the poor and others in ministry, a general command, but also the giving of the Bible, something that I was specifically prompted to do. Joy is found in the joy giver. Joy is also found in obedience to the joy giver. There's my thoughts for the week. I look forward to what others might share in the devotionals this week with regards to joy. If you're reading those and finding them meaningful, let us know. Let's close today with the benediction from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.